Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from the Herman Park Golf Course for the Lucille's 1913 Charity Golf Tournament. This is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's John Granato and Del Olale.
And we're off, Trey. How's that? It was a good start, huh?
Well, I saw JT and
Oh, yeah. Roadshow. It's different because we're in studio. This is not a roadshow.
That won't happen again.
That's different. Anyway, that's Trey. You know the voice, right? He's going to be here most of the week. He won't be here Wednesday, but he's going to be hanging with us this week as Dell is sitting in Lance's chair. Lance is taking today, tomorrow, and Wednesday off. He'll be back Thursday. I'm in today and tomorrow, and then I'm taking the rest of the week off. So it's kind of a hodgepodge, but it is awfully nice to have a way to say, well, not goodbye, but this is going to be certainly a different look that we've got going forward. And we'll announce the new lineup for you at 8 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So,
you're not going anywhere, right?
No, I'm not going in. Okay, you teased it. I'm not going anywhere.
No,
Trey.
That is the first crumb out there. John will not be going anywhere.
No.
We'll drop smaller crumbs as the hour goes on, I guess.
Yeah.
So is there a press release with this announcement? That's why it's at 8 o'clock?
I guess that is the case. I don't know what the I don't know what they're doing with that. All I know is that we'll be announcing it here at 8 o'clock, exactly what's going to be happening going forward. And it's good. It's good for the most part. It's good. It's good for those of you wondering if Lance and I are going anywhere. We're not. We're not going anywhere. So we'll give you that little tidbit, that little crumbum right here for the show. But we will announce. We'll make the whole announcement going forward, and then I'm sure you'll have your thoughts. I know you'll have your thoughts of what's going to happen, but we are getting it started here after
what do you want to call this weekend?
It's just unbelievable. They continue to struggle against mediocre and even bad teams for whatever reason. They just can't get up. They split with the Dodgers. They look good, although they lost 2 out of 3 to San Francisco. They go to Seattle in a big series where Seattle was playing really well. They finish that 4-4, and then they come home and lose 3 out of 4 to the Minnesota Twins. It's just amazing. And in a Hall of Fame weekend, by the way, with all of the guys getting their orange jackets, it was great to see Billy and Lance Berkman, Billy Wagner, Lance Berkman, Roy Oswalt, Cesar Cedeno, all the guys back and getting their orange jackets. And then you're supposed to win that weekend, aren't
you? Homecoming. They scheduled the homecoming opponent. This is their homecoming opponent, and they beat lost. 45-20 or
they
something.
They lost to their home. Oh my goodness! You know you're Alabama and you're homecoming. And you schedule East Carolina, and East Carolina comes in and slaps
not
you
even
around.
East Carolina. It's like they scheduled the Campbell Camels, yeah, and right. They came in here and took 3 out of 4.
Oh my goodness! Although they do have some, you know, Polanco's a good hitter and Donaldson, and it's like okay, but now they don't have any.
What is their record against
Griffin, Lux, or Dax, or Jux, or whatever the hell his name is?
And the under 500 teams in the AL Central own the Astros.
Own them.
Golly,
I mean, it is ridiculous what went on this weekend at Minute Maid, and the lineups. again.
Oof. I was like, oh, Taylor Jones is out there again. That's great. Like, he got two hits, so he was actually productive yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm watching the game. I did a Sunday shift here in the morning, so I got home and started watching the game. And, you know, McCullers is going okay, and then he gets to the second inning with two outs, and he gives up the triple, and I'm like, okay, this probably won't. He's nibbling on the outside, putting it where he wants, and then he misses his spot. He rakes that down the line. Cave rakes it down the line for a triple, and I'm like, this may not go well. this may not go well the rest of the way.
And yeah, Brantley's got to leave the game, and in comes a guy, Myers, who doesn't have a big league hit. And you're resting Altuve. When you got a day off, you just had a day off Monday. You got a day off today. You got another day off Thursday. I don't know. I just kind of think Altuve, I don't know.
Particularly
maybe he should
when
play.
Wilson and Jones are in the lineup, you're not going to play Altuve either.
What did you? Dusty just thought we can throw anything out here. All weekend this was. Starting at Thursday, he was the lineup. You're like, what the hell? What the hell, Dusty? How about putting some good players out there? You know, Diaz has been third, and he's been hitting and just fine. But
I'd rather have him at third base.
Correa's been a mess again, and he in a 7-4 game, he homers in the ninth.
Well, okay. Hey,
he's got a couple
of those. Is he turning into El Caballo?
El Caballo, or I hate to say it, but Bagwell did a lot of that stuff too.
I wanted to leave him out.
I know. Hey, listen, Bags had a lot of huge hits, but he also had, you know, a lot of little add-ons too. So, what is the deal? So take the day off. If the Rockies come in here with their racist ways.
Oh my gosh. Woo, that was, I wouldn't
that
say.
That wasn't a good look.
No.
I don't know if shocking is the word, but it's nuts. That's the product of not having a lot of people in the building and then having the field, having the crowd mics up at a level that they really wish they wouldn't have had them up at. If you look, we can't play it, but if you missed it on Sunday, Lewis Brinson's up at the plate. He's an African-American player for the Marlins. And in the crowd, you could just hear a fan screaming the N-word a couple of times while Lewis Brinson's at the plate. And you're like, what? What is going on?
Listen, it was clear.
Yeah.
It was clear. And the Rockies put out a statement that we do not approve of racism, blah, 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 blah. And we're going to try to find. And what? And then what? You're going to ban him from every stadium in America? Is that what we're going to do?
I guess.
Okay, because his face is going to be, along with the other guy, his face is going to be there entrance.
Like they wrote bad checks. It's going to be right there.
He shoplifted at a CVS.
Yeah. Yeah, you gave up.
And his face, they put up a picture of him. Do not let this man. What? Okay, he can't ever enter another stadium. Okay. But it was clear and evident. He was dropping the N-bomb on dude. And, you know, you're right. The the field mics are a little bit too hot. Hey, if I'm the announcer, I'm like, what the hell? What is that? What is going on here in our park? So the Rockies come to town for a two-game series, and that's can you win? Losing 3 out of 4 to Minnesota is as awful as getting swept by Detroit here. Is as awful as getting swept by by the Rangers at. At the Rangers, okay, I get it. But when you're losing 3 out of 4 to the Twins here, when you're getting swept by the Tigers here, that is just, it's just how in the world. If they could play against bad teams, they're the anti-Dodgers. They just cannot play against the Lambs.
Which makes you feel, it doesn't make you feel good, but then you think, well, you won't see them in the playoffs. So
yeah.
And you hope Dusty won't be resting players in game 2 of a divisional series. But God, I'm locked in. Okay, I'm doing this thing. So I'm forced to watch the Astros because of what I'm doing today. So I'm like, I'm gonna watch. I'm watching all weekend, and I gotta go look at Taylor Jones and some dude named Wilson and others. And Michael Brantley takes I don't know if you want to call it forearm shiver to the face or to the helmet. So he's missing time. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, Lance is on the mound. It went well the first inning, and it was going well for an inning and 2/3, and then he turned into Lance from the last couple years.
Yeah, he has those blow-ups, and You know, you saw him when he was leaving the game. He was like, I got this. I got this. And they said, nah, bring in Maton. Maton came in, got out of the inning. But then Maton started the next inning with three runs. Holy crap. And the thing was over. Another homer, a three-run shot by Polanco, and it was over. And, you know, you picked up a couple of runs, meaningless runs, but couldn't put anything together all weekend against this staff. This is not – they got so many guys named Column something. I mean, what in the hell was going on out there? On the Hall of Fame weekend, in the Astros Hall of Fame.
Miles Straw didn't die for this.
Well,
you didn't.
Trey.
Well,
Trey. He didn't.
He's dead to us.
He is dead to us. He really is, kind of. Although you saw when the Astros were beating the Dodgers that he had that little smirk on his face. He was happy for us.
Yeah. He's a team player.
He is, even though he's not on our team. He still loves our team.
And Miles Straw this weekend, he had 5 hits and 15 at bats. That would have been nice.
What?
Actually, he had six hits and 15 at bats. That would have been nice this weekend.
Who'd
they trade him for?
Yeah, Chaz is still okay.
Maton.
So, they traded him for Maton, who gave up 3 runs.
Yeah, so that's great.
Yeah,
that was a great trade off for a weekend.
Well, for this weekend, yeah. Anyway, Maton had done okay.
Certainly,
for the Astros, it was just unbelievable to see this going on. Is Dusty back next year? That's a good question.
We'll see how it plays out, right?
I mean, if Tony La Russa can manage at like 900 years old, I'm sure Dusty can manage another year. And the guys like Dusty. I don't think this isn't really on Dusty. It's how about, I don't care who you're putting out there. You gotta beat Minnesota. You gotta beat Detroit. You gotta beat the Rangers.
And because of all this, the drop in games against teams, you're now only 2 up. Because the A's swept over the weekend. They won 4. They won 4 in a row. So, and they took care of playing a bad team.
Yeah.
So now that lead, which felt like it was not insurmountable, but pretty large at 5.5, just what, in the middle of the week, is now down the 2.
Yep, that's it. All right, it's 7-11 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 if you'd like to get in here to hang with us. The Houston Texans made a little news and had a night practice. We will talk a little Texans on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, I got to talk about my peeps over at H&P. I saw Kevin the other day, as a matter of fact, and all of the guys, Chris and Mike Holly, just an outstanding job putting this whole thing together, and his vision has turned into a huge company that, but it's not too big to customize and to take care of its customers. Listen, they're nationwide, but they're based right here in the city of Houston. And if you have a business here in the city of Houston, they'll come there, customize a plan for you, for your payroll, for your HR, and then they'll give you options on your insurance and your 401k and your benefits packages, all of that stuff. They will give you options for that because they're not in that business, while the other ones are forcing stuff that you don't want down your throat. And that's what makes it more expensive to go with the other guys, is because they're giving you stuff that you don't want, or that's where they're going to make up the money. So if you're looking for a great way to get your payroll and your HR and everything else going on, all you got to do is go to HRP.net, 281-880-6525, or HRP.net.
To call into the HRP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, I don't know if you know this, but high school football starts today for a lot of teams in the area. A lot of practices starting today. Camp is starting this morning. I know my man Matt Meekins is listening right now, and he's on his way into Spring Westfield. Y'all better watch out at Spring Westfield. My guy Steve Hill is calling the plays over there, so y'all better watch out because they're going to be – Spring, You're going to have a lot of offense to contend with over there. I'm telling you here, right here and now. Watch yourself. And good luck to all the teams. Have a great camp, and let's go. It's football time. It is football time for your Houston Texans. They were under the lights this weekend, and by all accounts, Tyrod Taylor had a big night. He was pretty damn good. They started on the goal line, and there was all good hitting, good competition going on. I don't know. We'll see what happens with our football team. I'm more and more optimistic about this team that it's going to be. Everybody thinks it's no wins, one win. I think they're going to come up with 3-4 wins. I do think that they're playing some of the quarterbacks that they're playing. They might be Lovie Smith might be able to do something against a young quarterback, give him some looks that he's not going to be able to handle. And I think the Jaguars, that's a chance at a win. I think you got a chance at a win against Carolina, although Sam Darnold will have a couple of games under his belt. And then, of course, the Colts, God only knows, even when Carson Wentz does come back, it'll be if he comes back that early. That's going to be that's week 5. He's going to be raw, maybe his first start, or maybe still out. And if that's the case, you got Jacob Eason or Sam Ehlinger. That's what you're going to have to face. So I think that this is it sets up nicely in the beginning of the season here for our Texans to start out. They may be the surprise team in the league.
Oh boy,
at 4-2, Trey. Okay, you heard it here. And I know you pick every week, don't you? Do you still pick for Josh?
I don't think Josh is here anymore.
Oh, he's not here anymore? Oh, all right. I didn't know that. So
he is one of the moves we're making.
We're making, yeah. By the way, we're announcing our new lineup at 8 o'clock, which is about 42 minutes away.
Are you talking about me or Josh?
Josh. I don't know anything about
you. You're still here.
If for now.
Well, yeah, well, I think you're still here for
I mean,
now.
That is.
I'm worried about Monday. I'm going to show up and my key card's not going to work.
Well, I'm not predicting that. We're not predicting that, Trey.
I mean, I wouldn't discount it.
No, it could happen.
To anyone, actually. I don't know if it's likely. I mean, it's just that it could happen anyway.
It could happen to you, okay? There was a movie that was named that. It could happen to you. And it was a pretty damn good movie. You know, it's not really good right here and now. Oh, by the way, congratulations on Xavier Howard signing.
Yeah, they gave him more guaranteed money. Didn't really do much as far as the deal this year. I mean, they fully guaranteed whatever was on the books next year. I mean, not fully guaranteed. He got more guaranteed money, which is pretty much what he wanted. He wanted to know that he would be able to get more money, at least more than Byron Jones, who is the cornerback on the other side. And he has some very achievable incentives, like making a Pro Bowl and some playing game incentives that he should reach if he's healthy. So he got his money. He was back in camp. So I guess Miami can't take 2 first-round picks from someone this year.
No. All right. So, but speaking of Miami, ESPN ranked all 32 teams by their under-25 talent, which teams have the most and least blue-chip players. And guess who finished first in our little ranking of most blue-chip players of 25 and under?
Who finished first?
Well, what team were we just talking about?
The Texans?
No, the Miami Dolphins. Number one. Tua, Austin Jackson, Jalen Waddle, and Raekwon Davis. So they have the most talent and blue chip talent of under 25. The Washington football team is next. They've got a lot of good players and Chase Young, Vontez Sweat. Where do you think our Houston Texans finished in this little poll of ours that... And now, which is becoming more of a trend than Deshaun and his massages. Where do you think our Houston Texans finished in this little poll of the most blue chip talent, 25 and under?
It used to be where they would finish just in the mid, like 16, but considering recent events, I'm going to go with 32.
32, which is dead last in the league. So they just graduated Deshaun Watson, Titus Howard, Max Sharping. They're all out of the under 25. And looking at the past 4 drafts, which demonstrates why the Texans are in last place in our ranking under 25. The guys, 2 second-round picks, Sharping and Lonnie Johnson, both out. They're not that Lonnie Johnson was a blue-chip guy anyway. So there's just nothing. They've got Ross Blacklock, who is 23. Jonathan Greenard is 24. Nico Collins, Davis Mills, and Justin Reed is 24, but he just hasn't played well. He just has not lived up to, well, I don't know, lived up to a third rounder? Yeah, maybe he's done that. But he was slated after his first year to be a really good player in the league, and he just, injuries have hurt, but he also just hasn't lived up to it. So literally, they have no good young players. And that has got to change. That's where Nick Caserio has to build up as many draft picks as possible, do this thing the right way, get some young talent in here, get some, and it's going to be painstaking and it's going to be difficult to do and to turn it around. But good young talent, if you pick up Chase Young's or I don't know what quarterback, we'll see what they're going to have to do. I don't know that there's, we'll find out this year who's going to be lead the top of the class this year. But all of these teams have good young, the Chargers are in third with Justin Herbert, and the Baltimore Ravens still have Lamar Jackson under 25 years old, Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance. All of these teams have good young players that the Texans just don't have.
Which makes this season even more disappointing as far as excitement level is concerned, where you can't even latch on to a guy and go,
yeah,
at least I get to watch him play.
Yeah.
Like this Rocket season, we'll get into the Rockets. Jalen Green had a nice showing. At least this Rocket season will be about Josh Christopher, Jalen Green, Kevin Porter, a lot of bucket getters that you can latch on to. Shingun, guy who will, at least in summer league, doesn't mind contact, get to the free throw line. You can point to young guys and go, as long as Aaron Gordon isn't taking their time, I'm going to look to watch this team because there's some youth and some excitement.
Right.
The Texans don't have any of that.
The Texans are like watching John Wall.
And Eric Gordon play. Yeah.
Yeah.
And get 35 minutes a night. Yeah.
And you're like, it's just not that. And I can, you know, I don't want to just constantly downgrading the team and it's just horrible and just look what we're. But listen, the bright spot is that they've moved in a different direction from where they were. The decision makers are different somewhat. And you are, and hopefully they've got a game plan much like the Astros did back in the day, of getting young talent. And it's really, really, really going to be difficult, but it is going to be something that hopefully we can look and latch onto and hope that it is going to be fun. And yeah, you mentioned, I really liked, watching Sengun play last night. And Jalen Green as well. It was fun seeing he definitely has that shot he puts up pretty quick. He's got a little different form than you're used to. Mm-hmm. But for those of you that didn't see, the Rockets took on the Cavs and Jalen Green is a water bug out there, man. He is quick and he gets his shot off. He's fun to watch.
You watch him play, and then you watch the other two guys in the top three. Evan Mobley's in the same game. Kay Cunningham, I think, played the next game. ESPN obviously featuring those three. And there's a difference because of it. It appears his ability to just get his shot separates him. Kay Cunningham made a couple of stationary threes early. Didn't shoot the actually his first two shots were threes, and then he didn't shoot the ball well the rest of the night. Evan Mobley, you can see his lack of strength when trying to finish moves were a detriment to him. But Jalen Green's ability just to get his shot, at least at that level, because of his, whether it be the step back or just his ability to make shots when contested, you can see that's a translatable NBA skill.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why you think this is a guy who can become a 25-point per game score. I mean, I think what's his name, Fran Fraschilla, dropped. He's going to be a 30-point per game score when at some point in his career. I'm like, well, okay, that's high praise. But you understand right off the bat that translatable skill, the ability to make difficult shots, and just to get separation because of his footwork and that step back, make him a guy you say, okay, on a night to night basis, if the shot's going down, you can see a 30-point night for him. And this is before he develops the NBA strength to ward off guys in the lane, but being able to get that shot up is going to be a big deal for him.
You know, I wasn't unhappy that we got Sengun and not Mobley. If you want to know the truth,
one guy has a developed body who, at least on the summer league level, will be able to wreak havoc and collect fouls on others and get to the line. He got to the line 14 times last night. You can see the strength of being of playing overseas a little bit and being a big a good player in that league and how it's going to translate at least early on in the summer league. Like I said, Mobley is a guy you can see some of that skill, but when you watch him play, he'll get to a certain point and just not have the strength to finish through or over guys just because you can see, you look at him. This is what happens to skinnier, not physically developed big men. The mind and the ability is there, but at some point you're just going to have to physically go through a guy, and he doesn't have that capability right now.
Yeah. Sengun just 3-for-10 from the field, but 15 rebounds. He is physical. He talks to the basketball and the free throw line, which is a little weird.
I like it.
You like it? Like that?
I think it gives a good personality to the game.
Yeah.
You know, people were...
What is he saying, Trey?
It's in Turkish, so we...
Do you speak Turkish?
No.
You don't speak Turkish, Trey?
Not a lick.
Wow.
Well, you know, people were giving him the Giannis countdown.
They were.
In summer league. Yeah. They were counting him down.
Well, he's busy. He's talking.
Yeah,
hey, he's having a conversation. You know what? I can't hear you because I'm talking to the ball right now.
I'm having a conversation.
Yeah.
Is he like Billy Madison where he's like, that's your home. Yeah. Get in your home when he misses.
Or is he Castaway where he's talking to Wilson?
Well, I mean, maybe it's the only person on the court who can understand him.
Maybe. Nobody else can understand me. Only you understand me.
Except for that translator you love.
Only you understand me. And Trey. And only Trey and the basketball understand him.
I can understand him, but I can't speak what he's saying.
Okay. All right. Okay, but you understand what he's doing.
Oh, yeah. I know what he's saying.
All right. So Trey's with us here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're just a half hour away from unveiling our new schedule, if you're British.
Are you dropping it, or is someone going to come in here and announce it?
I think David Letterman might come in and do a
countdown. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
it's going to be big.
It's going to be big.
That's why I have a gap in my teeth, because of David Letterman.
Because of him, that you wanted to do it like he did?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
I don't know if I believe that.
I see your dad. Is he possibly your dad, too?
No, but we do look alike.
Okay, because AJ thought a lot of people were possibly your dad.
There's a lot of suitors.
What is that? Nah, I'm not going to.
We're going to do like a bachelorette type of thing.
Where you try to find out.
A bunch of dudes and say, are you Trey's dad?
You know what? Is your mom going to participate in that contest?
Yeah, she's putting it on.
Oh, okay.
Is she? Okay.
She put it on somebody. Apparently.
Well. Now we've gone too far.
Have we?
AJ went way too far. AJ went way too far with your mom's interview, Trey.
I'll agree.
When he's suggesting that Trey's dad isn't his dad. And I don't know what you're talking about. I remember one time in Vegas where you suggested that maybe you had carnal knowledge of my mom.
What happened?
Yeah.
No, I just asked, where was she?
No, and then you were like, maybe I'm your dad. You don't know.
Is your mom from Vegas?
No, she's not. We had a road show in Vegas. He goes, and I go, you're not my dad. He goes, you don't know that. He goes, yes, I do. He goes, no, you don't. You weren't there. So let's be clear.
You don't know.
Yeah, AJ may have gone too far, but you're not that far behind.
Well, at least I didn't say that directly to your mom.
Yeah, you didn't interview her and suggest that.
All right. 713-780-3776, 7:30, and we're a half hour away from the new schedule. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
The Olympics are over, Del.
They are. And the U.S., you know, on the last day, secured the lead for most gold medals.
Most golds, most medals overall. We did it all. It's America. That's what we're supposed to do. Isn't it just like, that's what we're supposed to do. Is China supposed to win the most golds?
They thought so. They thought so until that last day.
Until they caught a dose of America.
And winning, I think we won our first ever volleyball title as far as the traditional indoor full team? I think it was our first ever gold.
How many table tennis did we win?
It feels like that's an unlikely thing we would meddle in.
Feels really unlikely. Yeah. I don't think we're going to do that.
Yeah. What I was watching, what we were watching throughout the last 2 weeks when it was on NBC Sports, didn't see a lot of Americans competing for much.
No. I haven't seen the American since Forrest Gump.
And he was a champion.
Yeah, he was a champ. Of course he was a champ. But we haven't had anybody since. What moments will you remember? And any Trey, what one thing sticks out from your Olympic experience this year?
The one thing I remember the most, and it won't be fondly, is the fact that I couldn't watch NASCAR for 2 weeks because of the stupid Olympics.
Did NASCAR take it off, or just the broadcast?
NBC was all like, oh, we can't run for 2 weeks because we're going to cover the Olympics. It's like, who cares? Who cares about the Olympics? I want to watch NASCAR.
I know. Well, that's you, Trey.
So it wasn't on anywhere?
You were alone in that, but okay.
So
probably.
Because NBC has the full package for NASCAR, so it wasn't on
anybody
anywhere.
Nobody else can.
Yeah, no.
Don't they have another station somewhere?
NBC has the bird rights to NASCAR,
yeah. Okay.
So they can't. Go
so NASCAR, else. But NASCAR still ran though.
No, they didn't. They were off for 2 weeks.
They just took off.
They were off for 2 weeks.
Man, you talk about being dictated by TV. Holy crap!
I know, right? Like stupid Olympics. I had to watch running for 2 weeks.
I thought I saw you tweeting about someone winning a race or something this weekend.
No, you did yesterday, not the weekend before.
Oh, you
that.
Mean? Oh, yeah, it was back yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Oh, NASCAR was back yesterday.
But it was.
But for 2 weeks, it wasn't, and it hurt.
Yeah, it hurt. You didn't feel anything when Simone Biles couldn't go?
Not really.
Nothing?
I was in San Marcos.
You didn't cry when that guy won the swimming thing and his hot wife, they had a Zoom thing going
on.
You didn't cry about that? So
yesterday's winner for at Watkins Glen was Kyle Larson.
Correct.
Did he fly to the Coors Field too? And then
he didn't fly. It wouldn't surprise me, but he couldn't have got there in time.
Kyle Larson, by the way.
The race was going on while the game was on, Dell.
Okay.
So you sure he didn't? Jimmy Larson, his brother, in the stands at Coors Field?
Probably.
For those who don't know, Kyle Larson was suspended by NASCAR for
on
his
a
racial,
video game.
Yeah, video game.
He came back like 1 year later. They were like, oh, well, you know, you've served your time.
He's done He's done the work,
He did the
work. Yeah, he did. He did the work. Sensitivity training.
I'm sure.
So it wasn't him at Coors Field.
You don't know that.
Do we
know that?
I can confirm it wasn't. The game was going
Miami
on at
Marlins.
The same time.
So
I want an investigation.
What will you remember most?
That stupid penalty call that cost the U.S. women a chance at the final. What a terrible call.
It was a bad call. Although I was with some soccer people this weekend that said, she hit her.
But she got knocked off her balance. The contact came from a Canadian player, and Canada actually went on to win the gold in the next round against, I don't know who they beat. They beat one in penalties. So that's what I'll remember. Also, Draymond Green pulling out the receipts for everyone who was questioning the U.S. team over the weekend.
He and Durant.
Yeah, well, Durant, of course.
Yeah.
But Draymond was like,
well, Draymond's got that.
That's
in him.
True. He took shots at Kendrick Perkins. Like, because I guess Kendrick might have deleted the tweet, but, you know, old takes exposed has everything. And then they quote tweeted it and added Draymond. Go, see, that's it. That's what I'm looking for.
They got to be so petty. Okay, so people didn't think you were great. Sorry. Oh.
He goes, what?
You won you beat Rudy Gobert and Evan Fournier.
Barely,
way
by the
to
way.
Go. After they beat you. Man, you guys are the best.
They got a little tight down the stretch, too,
for
people who were watching the game.
And you know what? It wasn't great. It wasn't great.
Yeah, some missed free throws down the stretch, too, by Dame, which was surprising. And, you know, they were on Instagram Live, and Kevin Durant was like, oh, you thought some of y'all had us fourth, like behind Slovenia? You had us behind, not even winning a medal behind Slovenia? Draymond said, Luka's nice as hell. Now you can carry the hell on. Because I guess they heard the noise, certainly. And, well, you guys didn't give people much reason to believe in you, you know, except for the fact that you're the best players in the world and you turned it around. I think outside of the two France games, they won games by 20 plus points. So, you know, it was bookend by tight ones, and obviously the loss to Australia in the exhibition and the Nigeria loss too. But during competition, they were dominant. It's just that the initial stuff was like, ugh, what's going on out there? And then they found a way because Kevin Durant's, at least right now, the best player in the world.
How about Gable Steveson? Did you see this weekend? Did you see this dude? He hit in the final seconds of wrestling, down by two, down by one. He gets a 2-point takedown as time expired, and he wins the gold.
Yeah, he was down. Yeah, I watched the highlight, and
he was down 8-7.
He went from, but even before he had to get two pointers, or was it two? Within like 30 seconds, or he was going to lose. And he got one, and then he got the other one, and the crowd goes crazy.
Yeah.
And there's this woman screaming in the background like she's being murdered as he's winning.
But, well, you got to – it's exciting. One of the feel-goods. You know, can't happen to better people, Americans.
Oh, I thought you knew these people personally.
No, Americans.
They just happen to be born here, so they're the best
against
people.
Against some, I don't know, some Russian country or something. I don't know.
Doesn't matter. Wins again.
Yeah, America wins. I mean, this is a made-for-TV movie. Did you ever see the Indian girls who wrestled? It's actually a pretty good movie. It's about and she won her. I guess I don't know if it was what tournament it was. It was the biggest tournament in I don't know, the World Championships or whatever. And she won it much like that, and she did it against all odds. But she was Indian. She wasn't America. So this is better.
So it's not as important, correct?
No.
It doesn't mean as much.
No. But they made a movie that you couldn't understand, really.
Because it was in a different language?
Yeah, you had to read it.
Yeah, I don't care about people's accomplishments if they weren't born here.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless you're playing for my favorite sports team. But if it's an individual accomplishment that you've somehow reached this high level, but you weren't born here and you aren't wrapped in the U.S. flag, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And I mean, I know you lived... Whatever.
I know you lived a very hard life.
Or whatever. Yeah. You didn't have anywhere.
Hard life.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Whatever. Not much food where you are. Whatever.
Yeah. Chick-fil-A's closed on Sunday, too. Yeah. We all got our problems.
We all got our crosses, right? Chick-fil-A closed on Sunday. Sometimes it's cart path only at the golf course because of rain, Trey.
Sometimes NASCAR isn't.
I don't like Chick-fil-A.
You don't like Chick-fil-A? See.
Whatever.
Trey, now we know you're from Baytown.
Yep.
Look, Trey had his cross to bear, too. NASCAR wasn't on for 2 weeks. So
yeah.
We all have difficult things to go through.
I was struggling.
But Watkins Glen was special, wasn't it?
No.
Getting it back last night or yesterday?
I mean, yeah, kind of. But I watched it all here, and it was like 800 degrees because it gets really hot on Sunday. So that kind of – I was like, ugh.
more struggles for Trey. Struggle life for Trey.
Oh, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Why does this always happen to me
on the week?
I know
on the weekends.
How
I'm
do
not
you
sure.
do it, Trey? How do you live like this?
I don't know.
I mean, it is. I don't know how you're getting through these rough times.
At least we have good plumbing here at the station.
Well, that makes
sometimes.
Okay. Yeah.
When the water's on, sometimes they turn the water off for the weekend.
It's not always great.
There's
especially
great
when
plumbing.
Somebody's sitting in there when you go in. Do I
He's
really have to go
me.
Right now, or can I wait?
That's what I do all the time. I don't. If there's somebody in there, I'm like, I'm going to the second floor.
Yeah, we got like I go to the second floor quite a bit if I have to do something because I don't want to be around.
No. I don't
up
no,
here.
No. And speaking of plumbing, what do you know? What we're doing? Aqueduct plumbing. That's a nice transition there, Trey. Way to go, buddy.
Thank you.
That was well done. Aqueduct plumbing. Listen, they just started up last week. And I got to tell you, I really, really, really like these. They're so good. Billy and Mary. Mary's so funny. It's Billy's place, but Mary has been working there with him, and she'll probably answer the phone, and she's wonderful. She's got a lot of stories. There's some stories that are very, very interesting about Mary, but that's neither here nor there. 90% of the time, you're going to be talking to either or both Billy and Mary. And you're going to get a free estimate. You're going to get a fair quote. You're going to get honest pricing with no add-ons. And I talk about that same thing with another one of my clients, Chastang. But no add-ons is awfully important because there's a lot of these companies that, first of all, you can't trust. Secondly, they're going to come and they're going to charge you $69 just to come to your house, some of these plumbers. And then you never know if you can trust them, and they're adding stuff on just so that they can make more money. They also... Here's the deal right now is you make sure
if you have to get repiped, if you had issues with your piping during the freeze, these new pipes all expand, and that's this is what you have to do. And if you need to repipe, home of the one-day repipe at Aqueduct Plumbing. So you're looking for a plumber, 281-488-6238, 281-488-6238, AqueductPlumbingCompany.com, AqueductPlumbingCompany.com, Aqueduct Plumbing Company. They're at your disposal.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Fun. Sports. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
To the nameless voice that called me 2 weeks before the draft in 1994 to let me know that the NFL wasn't checking for me. They didn't like me. They like more of NFL legend Bertie Manuel and Ryan Yabara. I know you're alive. I know you're listening. I pray God keep you alive for this day. So my message to you is rap legend Kool Moe Dee wanted me to ask you how you like me now. Yes, sir.
Wow. Isaac Bruce with a shot at our own Bert Emanuel.
It's Isaac Bruce pulling his Michael Jordan impression that... I remember who doubted me, but Bert Emanuel isn't one of those people. He just mentioned Bert Emanuel because he was a guy that a scout like Moore. Like Bert Emanuel's just sitting there going, probably watching.
He had a good career.
He was fine.
I think I got Bert's number.
But Bert Emanuel's just sitting there, maybe watching. He might hear about it and going, why are you mentioning me?
He was kind of the original Dez Bryant with the catch, no catch.
From the NFC title game against the Rams?
Yep.
I remember that. But with Sean King as a quarterback.
I got his jersey.
It's not surprising that you would have Sean King or Bert Emanuel?
Sean King.
Okay. But if you're, what? Bert Emanuel's like, why are you giving me the business?
Yeah.
I didn't doubt you. He sarcastically said NFL legend Bert Emanuel.
Yeah.
What is
stop
that?
Already.
Ryan Yamaha, whoever that number. Is.
What about, what's up with Ryan Yamaha?
I don't know who that is.
Probably
I do.
Mad.
I have his number.
Are you going to call him? Are you going to ask Bert Emanuel if he heard what Isaac Bruce said?
Yeah.
Like he had his name mentioned?
Yeah.
Look, if you want to take your shots because someone doubted you, fine. But why would you need to include Bert Emanuel?
I don't know.
And sarcastically call him NFL legend Bert Emanuel. It's a little much from Isaac Bruce, I think.
I'm texting him right now.
And you're a bleep starter also. You are. Because he might have not even have heard it. And you, hey, did you hear what Isaac Bruce said about you?
Do you think he'll come on and respond to on the bench?
I mean, if he does, we're certainly going to send it out to people.
Yeah, because I always wanted to kind of talk to Bert Emanuel.
About what?
About owning his jersey or owning Sean King's jersey.
You want to talk to him about owning another person's jersey?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
He wants to talk to Bert Emanuel about him owning another Sean King's jersey.
Do you want to tell him you own Sean King's jersey?
Maybe he'll be impressed with my knowledge.
Of what?
Of football.
Of quarterbacks he played with?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Funny story. One time I met Tony Banks, and I told him I had his jersey, and I was like, you were the best
Michigan State quarterback ever.
And
what
did
he say?
He was like, I don't think so.
Well, probably right.
Well, I don't know. We'll see if Bert, out of nowhere, Bert Emanuel's getting a shot. Bert had a nice little career.
Yeah, he stayed in the league
fine.
A long time.
Yeah.
And Isaac Bruce, you know, at the top, they feeling pretty good at the top of the heap, being a Hall of Famer. It takes a shot at a guy who, you know, just, did he have beef because they played against each other a couple times? Not that he's a DB, so it would not, if you, not like he would have covered Isaac Bruce. They did play in an NFC title game at the same time. But what the hell?
For?
It really is.
terrible.
I mean, I would defend Ryan Yamaha, but I've never heard of him, so I don't even know how to spell his last name. I don't know who he is.
Yamaha or Yamaha?
I don't think it's
Yamaha.
He said Yamaha.
I've never heard of him.
I don't know. I don't know who he is, but Isaac Bruce had thoughts on him.
No, yeah. Isaac Bruce, yeah. He was cashing receipts on everybody, wasn't he?
Of all the people, Bert Emanuel's I don't know, Bert. You know him. He's probably a very nice guy.
He is a nice guy.
Having a good weekend.
He was working for our Houston Roughnecks. And so, and we only had the best people there.
Well, you had Raheel there too. So,
well, yeah, Bobby outside Pete. Of Raheel, yeah,
yeah, outside of Raheel, everyone else was great.
Everybody else was great. But yeah, we had Bert Emanuel was actually punting the. I forget what his job title was, but he was in charge of something. Anyway, I needed to call him about tickets. I remember that.
I'm sure.
But out of nowhere, he's catching it. I don't know. I'm not a big Hall of Fame.
No, guy. I know there are people who love this particular event. Mm-hmm. A lot of NFL people on Twitter are tweeting it, but I don't really care about speeches.
Yeah, I mean, this weekend, you know, Billy Wagner, Roy Oswalt, and Lance Berkman were all, and those guys. I was in the locker room every day with those guys and stuff, and I still was like, I don't feel like it.
Trey Wingo. Tweeted
not a
out,
big Hall of Fame guy.
Yeah, Trey Wingo was tweeting about how he and his son, you know, his son grew up watching Peyton Manning, and that was his favorite player, so he made sure to take his son there. I'm like, I don't have those feelings about anyone. Obviously, no kid, but even as a kid, I didn't feel the need to be like, you know what, I really want to meet this person. Yeah. It wasn't a thing for me ever.
You weren't a big Edgerrin James fan?
I love Edge. He was a part of the resurgence of Miami football, but you know what I didn't need to do? Show up at that Hall of Fame speech. It's just not a part. Like Dwayne Wade is my favorite player of all time. But you know what? They don't know you. I know.
I don't care if you're there.
Now, Trey Wingo has met Peyton Manning, so he and his kid may have a different type of deal. But you know what I'm not going to do? Dwayne Wade, I love you. I don't need to do that.
Yeah.
Someone said, someone tweeted out that, Dwayne, you're my favorite player or something like that. I love you. And Dwayne said, I've never met you, but I love you too. Because that's what it is.
Well, and speaking of Edgerrin James, he probably had the line. You know, Peyton was doing a stand-up routine
while
he was up there. But Edgerrin James had, you know, he had it tough. He had the different look. They told him that he should cut his braids, and he was like, no.
A lot of Miami players, not so much now, partly because you don't really see them as first-round picks anymore. But back in the day when those guys were becoming the rage and Miami players are getting drafted high, all those guys would cut their hair, at least in the draft process. They grow it back once they're in the league, but for the draft process, they cut their hair. Sean Taylor had dreads throughout college and cut it for the draft process. That was the thing they were told to do.
Well, yeah, because there was a bunch of white guys, old white guys, that were looking at you, and they had to make decisions on you. And the better decisions, the more money you get paid, the higher you get picked. Edge didn't care, and he didn't care about this either.
My closing message, proudly represent the real you. Follow your dreams, aim high, and create the life you want to live. And to all those who have been judged prematurely because of their appearance, the way they speak, where they come from, and in the minds of many should be locked up in prison, I represent us. I'm forever immortalized, locked up in the Canton Correctional Institution. Inmate number 336 in the Pope Football Hall of Fame. My career started with gold teeth and ended with this gold jacket. Good night and God bless.
That is great. That is great. I'm not sure that all the guys in the Hall of Fame wanted to be, you know, in the Canton Correctional Institution.
Mm-hmm. Hey, watch it.
Hey, Edge. You're a little edgy, okay?
I wonder what kind of walls are in those type of prisons. I wonder what kind of walls and
I don't know.
I
don't know what kind of bars they have. Yeah.
When you think of Edge, and I had to look up his numbers, did you think Hall of Fame?
I did not think Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and it turns out he's like top 12 in rushing yards. And I was like, oh, okay.
Didn't he lead the league in rushing for a while?
I don't know. I don't know how many seasons if he ever did that, but I just didn't think of him as one of those guys.
No, I didn't either.
But he had.
I was going to say, it's kind of surprising. And you know what? Who else is? Calvin Johnson's a little surprising to me.
And Edge was 13th of all time. So he's ahead of Franco Harris, Marcus Allen, Thurman Thomas, Fred Taylor. Fred Taylor got in recently as well. So if Fred Taylor's getting in, then obviously Edge is getting in.
Edge is getting in, yeah.
Calvin Johnson, the numbers over a shortened career are outstanding. We were doing comparisons during the break, comparing him to Andre Johnson, who had a longer career and didn't touch Calvin Johnson's touchdown numbers. And we can get into the quarterback play and the offense and just being with the Texans and how that might minimize your numbers. But it's more of a Gale Sayers thing, isn't it, for Calvin Johnson? Where
Barry Sanders
the same team, where the numbers are ridiculous when you average them over the seasons. But when you talk about total numbers, it's like, okay.
But it, you know, not Gale Sayers, it was in his choice. It was the knees that got to him. With Barry and Calvin Johnson, it's the, you know, their choice. They just walked away. But if you're a Lion, I guess you're going to walk away because you just can't stand being a Lion anymore. I guess that's simply always the case, it seems like. All right, when we come back, our new lineup announced right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Something you've been waiting for here. How are we gonna adjust? And we'll tell you on the other side. But first, I'm talking about my man Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite. And I've given this example plenty of times, but it's something that I believe in, because I know when you sell a house, they're going to look at how old it is, but how many improvements you've made on it. You know, how old are your countertops? How old are your cabinets? How old are your vanities and everything else? And if you don't do anything over a 20-year period, we raised the kids there, and it was a 20-year period. But one of the things that we did, and we had Jeff Aronoff work on our countertops as well, but we had him put in our outdoor patio and our outdoor kitchen. And it was fantastic, and it helped immensely, and it will help you too. Jeff Aronoff is going to come to your home, customize exactly what you need, and so you don't need anybody to design it because you got Jeff doing that, and he'll help you pick, because this is what he does every day. He'll help you pick the colors and the marble and the granite and everything else that you need. So when you have to, if you're sitting on a house that's 15, 20 years old, you got to do something, peeps. You got to work on it, and Jeff Aronoff is here for you. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
ESPN 97.5.